Our scripture lesson is taken again from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and that's page 1007, page 1007, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Last Lord's Day, we focused on that part of the verse that tells us that Noah became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Today we want to focus on the fact that true faith always bears fruit. True faith always bears fruit. And we see that in the response of Noah to the Word of God. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark. In reverent fear. That means that he had a sense of awe and reverence for the Word of God. It doesn't mean that he sat in trembling. It didn't mean that he thought that he was going to be condemned with the world. You know, it's important that we understand what fear is in the Christian life. Fear is not terror of the judgment, because we know that we've passed from death to life, because we love one another, because we love God. I'm not afraid of going to hell, because Jesus took my hell on himself. When Jesus died on the cross, he died in my place, and therefore I don't have to be terrified of the judgment. Judgment's coming on the world one day, but I am not going to be condemned. Perfect love casts out fear, says the Apostle John in 1 John 4. But there is such a thing as a healthy respect for God and His Word, and that's what we find that Noah has. Noah responds to the Word of God with a healthy respect. He responded in faith coupled with healthy respect for God. And that's why he prepared an ark. And so his faith worked through that response to God of reverence to produce fruit. The book of James throws a lot of light on this concept. There we're told that the faith without works is dead. It isn't that faith is not fruitful in salvation, or that something else is necessary in order for us to be declared righteous by God. It's just that a faith that doesn't bear fruit is no faith at all. Let's look for a moment at James chapter 2, if we could, because I think it illustrates profoundly how we're right with God by faith alone, how we're declared righteous by faith alone, and yet our faith is declared to be right faith by our works. James chapter 2, which is just to the right. And he says there, in verse 18, page 1012, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that God is one. You do well. He's mocking. You do well. He says, even the demons believe and shudder. So faith is not mere acceptance of facts. Faith is not merely believing as true things that are said to be true by God. Every demon in hell and out of hell, because some are in hell and some are not, every demon believes the Word of God is true. In fact, they believe it so strongly that they tremble in fear, in terror, because they know that the punishment they're undergoing now is nothing to compare with the punishment they will undergo when the Lord Jesus returns and they're cast into the lake of fire. So the demons believe in the true God, but they do not believe truly. How do you know you have true faith? True faith produces a response. In other words, we may say that we are justified by faith alone, but our faith is justified by our works alone. Does that sound an odd way to put it? I like to come up with odd ways of putting things so that people have to scratch their heads and wonder, and maybe 3 or 4 days later it hits them and they say, "Oh, I get it now." In other words, justification means that God declares you and me not only not guilty, but righteous in His eyes for the sake of Jesus. But what declares our faith to be genuine faith? It's how we live. Now, here's Noah. And Noah, out of the whole of humankind at that time, receives a word from God. God speaks to him. I don't know how He spoke to him. I don't know that God didn't speak to other people and they didn't respond. I should correct what I just said. But he's the only one out of the whole of humankind who responds to that word from God. And he responds in faith that moved him with godly respect to do something in response to that faith. In other words, true faith always acts. Let me put it this way. We're justified by means of grace alone, based on the finished work of Christ alone, and received by faith alone, but by a faith that is never alone. Or as the Sunday school ditty puts it, if you're saved and you know it, then your life would surely show it. And so in Noah's case, he responds to God's word. And God's word is a very serious word. God's word says, destruction and judgment is coming on this planet, and you need to do something to prepare for it. And Noah does just that. And so his faith is accompanied by works. He's not righteous in the eyes of God by his works. But he's not righteous in the eyes of God without his works. Now that's really confusing. He's not righteous in the eyes of God by his works, but he's not righteous in the eyes of God without his works, because his works prove that his faith is genuine. And that's what James is driving at in James chapter 2. Genuine faith will always produce a changed life. We only truly believe that which we act on. The demons believe and tremble, but they never respond. They only live on in terror and fear of the future. And so, what he's saying in verse 20 of James 2 is, do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Think about it. What if Noah heard that word and said, yeah, I know that's going to happen. I think I'll go lie down and take a nap. And that's okay. Everybody needs a nap from time to time. But he went on with that and went on with that and went on with that. And meanwhile, the clock's ticking, the calendar pages are turning, and the judgment of God is no longer going to sleep. And suddenly there's a clap of thunder. Suddenly there is rain for the first time in the history of the planet. And Noah perishes in the flood with his whole family. You see, he believed from his heart, and therefore he responded in faith. So again, faith produces fruit. And we see that in the life of Noah. And we see that so much taught in the book of James. James is not teaching in James chapter 2 that we are ever justified by faith and works. It's important. Because if your faith is there, but your works also have to be there in order for you to be saved, when do you know that you've done enough good works? It's interesting as you read here, in verse 10 of James 2, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it." In other words, if your works contribute to your justification, as over against your works proving your faith, then you and I are without hope. Because none of us is perfect. And if we keep God's entire law, and yet in one point we break it, we're guilty of the whole. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Think of this. Why did Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talk about things like looking at a woman with lust, or hating your brother, or calling your brother a fool? Why did he say those things? Because everybody, sooner or later, is guilty of breaking God's law in their heart. Is there anybody here who has never struggled with hatred? Anybody here who has never struggled with envy at someone else's spouse? Anyone here who has never spoken an angry word? You see, we can never be justified by our works. And we can never be justified by our faith and our works. But we're justified by our faith that works. Maybe that's clearer, a clearer way of saying it. We're justified by our faith that works. So as we look back at Hebrews chapter 11, just a couple of pages back, we see that's exactly what Noah did. Noah responded to God's word by beginning to get wood and prepare the wood and prepare an ark. Now, during that time, can you imagine what it was like to be Noah? To be the only really godly man in the whole wide world, the only one who ever responded to the word of God at that point in true faith and demonstrated that true faith by his actions? Do you imagine that people would say on a Sunday afternoon, "Let's hitch up the wagon and go see that old fool out there in the woods"? You reckon anybody ever did that? Do you know that Scripture tells us plainly that Noah was a preacher of righteousness? And that's exactly what he was. He was a preacher of righteousness. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 5 on page 1018, we're told that if God did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. He was a herald of righteousness. He was a gospel preacher. And he was also a preacher of the law and judgment of God. He warned men and women and boys and girls of judgment to come. And you know, we can look at Noah's life and say that as a preacher, he was a failure. He never filled his church. In this case, his church was the ark. If those people had repented, provision would have been made for them. But none of them repented. And so what happens is that the whole world perishes in spite of the fact that Noah is constantly warning them that judgment is coming and also offering them an opportunity to be saved. Can you imagine what it must have been like? As we read there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, that by building the ark, he condemned the world and saved his house. What must it have been like? There you are with three or four children, and you've been one who's been mocking Noah. You've been one who has been telling your children, "Look at that old fool building that boat. Why is he building a boat out here in the middle of nowhere? There's no water here. There's no lake here. Look at that old fool." Noah would turn from hammering and he would begin to preach, "God's judgment is coming. Repent and believe the promises of God and you'll be saved." And all they did was laugh and ridicule. But what is it like on that particular morning? They were preparing for a wedding. They were preparing for a feast. The food has been prepared, and the bride is adorned and ready to come down the aisle, when all of a sudden this great noise comes, a clap of thunder, and people wonder, what in the world is that? And then it begins to rain, and the implication of the book of Genesis is that it had never rained on the earth up until that point, that a mist came up to keep the earth moist. What would it have been like? Suppose you're there with your three or four children, and you're there for attending a wedding feast, and it begins to rain, and you wonder. And as the rains come, also something else happens. There's an earthquake, and the fountains of the deep open up, and the water begins to rise, terribly so. And then you see that Ark of Noah floating in the water, and you say, oh, God, have mercy on me. But it's too late. And it's too late for your children. The children are not even spared. No one is spared except Noah and his whole house. And so Noah condemned the world by responding to the warning of God and preparing an ark. And he did so because he was a true believer. And there's one more thing in this text that we must point out on page 1007. And that is, he constructed the ark for the saving of his household. Can your faith save your family? And the answer is yes and no. Your faith can make a difference in their lives. By being a believer, by praying for your children and grandchildren, you can see a difference in their lives. Noah, by his faith, rescued his family. By his faith, the children, whether they ended up all being believers or not, the children and their wives all decide to do what Daddy said. Trust and obey. They believed what their daddy was preaching. And when he led the way into the ark and God sealed the doors, they were all inside. 8 people were saved. The whole world, every man, every woman, every child, every infant was destroyed. What kind of God would do that? The God of the Bible? The God that we see witness to in nature? Wow. But Noah trusted God in spite of all the mockery of the world around him, and his trust in God and his obedience to God resulted in his family being saved. So I'll close with these thoughts. Would you dare to be a Noah today? Would you dare to stand up for the Lord in spite of the things around you, in spite of the mockery of other people? It doesn't mean you have to go out of your way to be offensive, but it does mean, will you stand up for the Lord? Will you be a true Christian in spite of the things around you? Will you disciple your children so that they would become followers of the Lord? What's my purpose in having a children's sermon? It's not that I think I'm going to teach them some profound truth, other than the fact that I learned a great lesson today, and that is I need to sit up here rather than down there. What I'm trying to do is to create a bond between myself and those children. I want them to know that God loves them, and the way I hope that they'll know that God loves them is to perceive that I love them. I want them to feel close to me, and I want from time to time for them to be in here and hear me preach. Because, you know, children perceive a lot more than their parents think they do, and they listen to a lot more than you think they do. And so the point is that Noah made a difference, and his family was saved. Of all the things that I want in life, making sure that my children and my grandchildren know the Lord truly is the greatest thing that I ever ask. And my wife and I pray for that every single day. And we've done what we know to do. which is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to pray at meals with them, to bring them to Sunday school and church, to do all those things. Finally, it's God that converts. But Noah did save his household through that ark. May we pray. Lord, we pray that we would dare to be a Noah who hears your word and responds to it in faith, by a living faith, not by a dead faith, by a faith that acts rather than a faith like demons that is no faith at all, but mere belief. Lord, we pray that we would act on the faith that you've enabled us to have, that we would witness to your truth, and that we would impart that truth to the coming generations. For Jesus' sake, amen.